How many of you got a diary that you've kept over the years? My daughters did. How many of you have albums of pictures? The family and end of things, vacations, all the things you can help you to remember what you've done in your life. Amen? I mean, that's what they're for, right? Somebody suggested one of the things you ought to do as you go on vacation is buy postcards at different stops, you know, and then send them home to yourself. So when you get home, they're there and you can make a scrapbook of them. One of the most tragic things I share when I watch television is when a house burns down or tornadoes hit areas, people lament that they lost all their pictures, lost all those things that were so important to them. And, you know, that's the first thing they mention. That's the first thing they lament more than anything else, that they lost their pictures of their family and past and things that helped them to remember how blessed they are. I didn't know Marilyn kept a scrapbook until a few years ago, and I was down in the basement looking through some things, and I found this little red thing, you know, and opened it up, and wow, all through my high school days and sports and everything, she kept a scrapbook on me. And it's interesting to remember some of the things they said about me back then. You know, things that you do and things that you remember. And aspects. I was born in 1939. Don't figure out my age. September 1st, the Second World War started. Theodore Roosevelt was the president. I know that Marilyn and I, both of us, can remember going out in the fields and gathering milkweed pods into bags as we were out in the country schools, and they'd send us out there and whatever, and I'm not positive, but I understood they used them to make parachutes and that they had a purpose for what we were doing, and we were participating in helping our soldiers as they were going to be fighting in the Second World War. They used them for what? Life jackets, too. Okay. That's amazing. You remember that. Okay. You know, if you don't know history, and you don't know it thoroughly, as Churchill said, you and I are destined to repeat it. We need to know history. We need to know our background. We need to know it and substantiate and know the importance of it, because there's a lot of things that are happening in our country today that they are trying purposefully to destroy and undergird the history of this nation. And who we were and who these men were that came to establish the foundation of this nation that you and I call America, the United States. The aspect of that is that when the pilgrims and these founders and fathers came to our land, if you study history, you'll find they wasn't coming here to be set free from religion. They came here to be free to practice the religion. They came here to establish a Christian nation. They came here to have the freedom to take and preach the gospel. Many of them are quoted as saying so. In fact, they talked and prayed about the war ending and coming to a completion so they could get back and become busy about God's will and preaching the word of God. Isn't that interesting? The aspect, of course, is as they came to America, they had their main book that they bought was the Bible. First one was the Bishop's Bible. Later, the King James Version was accepted, but the point is, that became the text of our school system back in the old days, you know that? Our kids learned to read from reading the Bible. It was a very important foundational substance that created this nation to become, it was the Word of God. The aspects of that. And so as you and I hear the progressive liberal mind today, we can really see within it how they historically are trying to undergird and keep our young people from knowing the history of this nation. They try their best to destroy the reputation of Lincoln and Washington and whatever and give them a bad name and on, because I listen, I read, I hear, I get information every week from different movements that I support, because I believe they are fighting for the liberty that these people died for. So I can stand up here and have the freedom to share with you this morning and talk to you about who we are as a people, as Christian people, and having the freedom to come together. And what you and I need to understand is that the Constitution and these founding fathers had no concept, no idea, no purpose, is that they were trying to develop a nation that would separate itself from Christianity. There's no teaching in any aspect of the separation of church and state. In fact, their concept was that unless this nation built itself on the principles of God's word, it would never stand. It couldn't exist. It would not remain. They believe, however, today, that the church and government and everything is to be totally kept separate, distinct from one another. Because they know that if you take the principles of this book and you believe in them and you teach them, then you've got to support the Constitution of the United States. Because the Constitution of the United States was fundamentally and foundationally written by the principles that are in this book. They followed the principles of God's Word to give to you a liberty and a freedom guaranteed in that Constitution. So as you evaluate what they're saying today, and I don't know, maybe you don't know what they're saying, but I ask myself the question. If I go back, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but are they really right? Well, let's ask this question. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. Deuteronomy 32, 7 says, remember. Remember? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generation. Ask your fathers, and he will inform you. Your elders, they will tell you. Well, let's ask them. Okay? Let's ask them. What did they believe? What were they saying? What were they demonstrating as far as their own personal lives are concerned? Well, let's hear first of all, and I'm going to just share a few. I'm not going to share very many. But President Lincoln, everybody know who President Lincoln was? Okay? After he had got done reading Psalms 18 and 2, according to his own biography, Psalms 18 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He then says, I then went into my room. I locked the door. I got down on my knees before Almighty God, and I prayed to him mightily for God to bring victory at the war and what was going on at Gettysburg. A solemn vow I made to Almighty God that if he would protect our boys at Gettysburg, I would vow to be with him and stand with him for the rest of my life. Well, does that sound like he didn't believe God had to be involved in what was going on in the governmental aspects of the world? Because he was the president and he prayed to God for God to protect the boys at Gettysburg. And if he did that, he vowed he would stand for God for the rest of his life. Well, also, President Lincoln made a historic proclamation on March 30th, 1863. He made and declared and proclaimed a national day for fasting. He saw that the American people were drifting away from God. He saw that as a nation, we were becoming so filled with immorality and sin that he called the nation to repent. Did you know that? Yeah, he did. He called for the nation to fast and to confess our sins as a nation and transgressions and humble sorrow, with the hope that the genuine repentance would lead to God to have mercy and pardon from God. Because if God didn't forgive the country for all the sins, does this sound familiar? Lincoln believed that God is a just God and justice would be demanded. I believe that too. I believe if America doesn't repent from all the sins that are eating at the very heart of our nation, that justice will come. God said, be sure your sins will find you out. And sin is a degradation to any people and any nation. You know what God says? It corrupts. There has never been a country, nor a nation, or a kingdom that didn't fall from within. Babylon fell from immorality. Rome fell from within. All nations have fallen from within. I remember reading and saying President Khrushchev said, we won't even have to drop a bomb on America. They will destroy themselves from within through immorality. He predicted that several years ago. Interesting, isn't it? But Lincoln stated, it is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the ruling power of God. Nations, every aspect of man depends upon the ruling power, because the Bible says there is no power nor authority that is not ordained of God. Amen? You know that I do. Well, how about President George Washington? Everybody knows George. When the British surrendered at Yorktown, October 19, 1781, George Washington stated, the man must be bad indeed who can look upon the events of the American Revolution without feeling the warmest gratitude towards the great author and the creator of the universe, whose divine imposition was so frequently manifested on our behalf. Sounds like he was sort of in believing that God was playing a big role in revolution, what was happening, what was taking place. And it would take a bad person not to see it and to understand it. An eyewitness whose name was Isaac Potts wrote about George Washington. He tells about seeing him going off to the side out into the edge of the woods. And he followed him. He saw George Washington get down on his knees. And after he had prayed for over 2.5 hours, praying a prayer to Almighty God to save the United States and save the Army of the United States. That is before, just before he crossed the Delaware, which was the turning point, as you know. He said, such a prayer I never heard from the lips of man. Well, George Washington must have been fully convicted that what was going to happen had to depend on God providentially being with him, right? Huh? That God took control and God would bless him. Well, did he? Yeah, he did. Well, let's just spend a little time speaking about some early other fathers. You know John Adams? John Adams said the highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond. Are you listening? He said, indissoluble bond, the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. You think John Adams believed in separation of church and state? Or did he believe that that civil government depended upon the foundational principles of Christianity? Well, let's see, Noah Webster, right? The moral principles and the precepts contained in Scripture ought to be and form the basis of all civil constitution and laws. Let's listen to our fathers. Let's listen to the elders. Let's listen to these people. Listen to Daniel Webster. Compare it with what is happening in our country today. Daniel Webster said, if the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and the breadth of our land, anarchy, misrule, degradation, misery, corruption, darkness will reign without mitigation or without end. Wow. He must have believed in the power of the gospel. He must have believed that this book, the power of this word, would make all the difference in the moral aspect of this country. And when the gospel isn't being preached and people aren't obeying it, he said this is the end result it's going to take. Well, is that what's happening? Is our country not, from California to the East Coast, seeing anarchy? From our young people on our campuses and you name it? Misrule, degradation, misery, corruption, darkness is going to reign. And what's going to stop it? What's going to stop it? Maybe the second coming of Christ? Yeah. We all need to put this knowledge in your book of remembrance. I pray to God that you, a student of knowing where you came from and the price that was paid for your freedom, and that what you're hearing and what these people are saying are dead, flat lies. And let me tell you, Satan is the father of all lies. And there's no more convincing proof in my mind that there is progressive movements in our country to destroy us as a people. And this has been going on for several years now. And we as a people, as Christians, need to know that our responsibility is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You and I, if we don't preach the gospel, we're just letting Satan have a free reign. But Satan is bound when God's people stand for the truth and the power of God's word, and it's the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, risen from the grave. That's a simple truth of God's word, and we need to be not ashamed of it. We need to preach it and share it so that people will know they need to repent. Repent of their sins, turn to God, and God can heal this nation. He can heal the land. So if you're going to write a book for you to remember, maybe one of the things that you and I need to start and really make consideration from, because I interrelate with a lot of people who call themselves Christian, and man, I find their lives completely controlled by anxiety, fear, being anxious for everything. And yet my Bible says, be anxious for nothing. What does yours say? But in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. Do you like that or don't you? Peter said, be anxious for nothing because God cares. God cares. Does God care or doesn't He care? Does God care for His people? Does God care for you personally? And that aspect of it. When the Sabbath day was set apart, God said that the Israelites were to take and observe the Sabbath day and remember that God had set them free from Egyptian slavery. God set that day up as a memorial to make them to remember that it was the Lord their God that set them free from Egyptian bondage. Isn't it interesting? That when they got up to Dan and Bathsheba, Bethel, that Rehoboam said and created the golden calf of Jeroboam, and he said, behold, your gods that set you free from Egyptian bondage. Things haven't changed, have they? Huh? No? I remember as a young boy, my dad, my stepdad, and all my uncles and everything, coming home from the Second World War. I remember the impact it had on their lives. I remember they all struggled with alcoholism, suicidal, a couple of them going to see the psychiatrist, and the aspects of that. I remember Vietnam. I remember young boys coming back to the congregation I was serving in Sturgis. And I remember how the nation was looking at them and how many of them ended up over in Ann Arbor and in the hospital over there. And I would go and visit them, the aspects of what that war did to them. Do you know what price these people paid for your life and mine to be free and to enjoy the liberty we have today? It's so easy to forget, isn't it? Isn't it? And this is Memorial Day. This is a day to remember, to remember. And your memory book should have written in it over and over and over and over again. Thank God for those men, women, and others who have paid the price for your freedom to be able to be here on the Lord's Day and not be fearful of what somebody's going to do and not do to our lives today. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God cares for us, people. God cares for the body of Christ throughout America today. And we need to be writing in our memory book, if you will, so that we don't forget to be grateful, to be thankful for the price that was paid, not only for our liberty here in this nation, but for the price that was paid for our freedom as Christians and what God did for us. I think of all my life and the aspects of it. And I think about going to college, and we had two little ones. We had Billy and Michelle. There were weeks that Mel and I didn't have a dime. We had no money whatever. We needed milk for the kids. We needed cereal. We needed diapers. We needed a lot of things. Back then, we did diapers, you know, not Pampers. As God is my witness, on the very day when we recognized we didn't have a penny, the mailman would come, and there would be money coming to us in the mail. Time and time and time again, God provided for my family. God cared for me and my family. And He provided for me. No ifs and ands about it. I had no idea that there was some people paying for my tuition. When I went to pay for my tuition at Great Lake, they told me it was paid for. It was paid for. When I was leaving East Arbilla to go down to Sturgis for ministry, a drunk ran a stop sign and took the front end off my car. Michelle was standing between Marilyn. Billy was in the back seat. I was seeing him in the mirror. And when we all got done, we was over on the other side of the road. We were in a ditch. I couldn't get out my door. I had to climb over the back, go out the other side door. And then I got thinking. When it all got done and said, Michelle was sitting between Mel and I. I had gone forward, busted off the stairwell, had my chest and everything all bruised up. Melon busted her jaw, had it all cracked and busted in the fact of the aspect. But Michelle, who was standing, didn't fly through the windshield. She was sitting down. Billy, who was standing in the front back seat, standing, had his arms on the back of the front seat where Melon and I were sitting. And he said, Daddy, the car is broke. Nobody's going to tell me that Bill Horton, you will never convince me that God isn't taking care of me and my family. Does God care? You bet He cares. You'll be faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you. Don't waver in your faith, because He who promised is faithful, is He not? And God has proven. I could go on and on and on how God has walked with me and my wife and through all the aspects of life, but you know that. I was there when they showed Lloyd Moody this aneurysm on the bottom of his heart. It was clear as a bell. There it was. He pointed it out to us. We humbly, all as a body of people, went and started praying to God for Lloyd, because it's going to be, and the doctor said there's no way, if we move that thing, we don't know whether you'll live through it. So it came operation day, remember? Huh? Remember? Lloyd went into surgery. Wasn't very long. The doctor came in, talking to Ned. Well, I don't get it. He said, I don't understand it. He said, there it is, right there. It's gone. It wasn't there, was it, Lloyd? It was gone. It was gone. I remember the elder down in Sturgis, Michigan, Bill Warwick, was backed into a truck down in the, where they back into in the cement, and it smashed his ribs and his bones, and he was in unbelievable pain. They said he wasn't going to live, that there was no way he could live. The elders and I went up to the room where he was. Bill was an elder. We prayed. He was in excruciating pain. They were keeping him under, filling him with pain medicine, and you name it. That evening, and I went back up to see him, you know what they said? We don't know what happened, but the pain's gone. We haven't had to give him a pain shot for the last 2 hours. And he never suffered another day. I just question in our minds, do we really believe in our hearts that God cares for His people and that He's up there, and when we pray and we ask and we beseech His will and we are faithful to Him and we're living righteous life, the prayers of righteous people avail much. And if we're going to save this country or do anything, and you can't do anything other than get on your knees like George Washington and all these other people humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God, because I believe God cares for America. I believe she's still a lighthouse that can make a big difference in this world. I'm praying for our president that he can go over and resolve the issue in North Korea. I'm praying. Because you and I are to pray for those that are in authority, those who are in power. Why? So we can live a peaceful life. Let God's people put that in your memory book. And knowing that God cares, so do you. And you're going to pray. You know? To remember God's great blessings of the past and God that did indeed establish memorials. You remember Joshua when he led the children of Israel? Remember what he told Joshua to do after they crossed over? He told them to have 12, a separate man from the 12 tribes of Israel. Each of them pick up a rock, carry it out into the middle of the Jordan River, remember? And build a memorial. And he said, well, why are we going to do it? He said, because your children are going to ask, what do those rocks stand for? And you're going to tell them that it was God who delivered you as a people and as a nation and opened up the Jordan River and set you free into a land of milk and honey. God's always had memorials, huh? Do you have some? How soon do you forget? Remember 9/11? Huh? You remember how this nation turned to God? You remember how flags were flying everywhere? People had them in their yards, they had them in their house, they had them everywhere. I want you to go home and I want you to look how many flags are flying today. Very few. My flag is flying. Because when I look at that flag, it reminds me of the price that was paid that I could stand here on the Lord's Day and preach the gospel in a free context of life. I don't know how long it's going to last. But I thank God for it. I really do. And I think about all the things, you know. I was listening to TV now. You know what Children's Day is supposed to be now as a memorial? It's supposed to represent the thousands of young people that are missing. Have you heard about all the human trafficking that's going on in our country today? How many young people are just all of a sudden missing? How many young people are running away from home? And so they say, let's have a Children's Day, a missing Children's Day. Not too long, we're going to celebrate Father's Day. Amen? Huh? Yeah. I got pictures. I got pictures standing in my first ministry over at East Arbilla. I'm out on the front porch. I'm there. Here's my little red-headed son. He's about this tall. I'm holding his hand. He's looking at me with a big smile on his face. You know what that does to me? It makes me proud. I thank God I'm a father. I thank God I have sons. And I better remember my responsibility. If nothing else, I can give them an example of what it means to be a Christian person, a Christian man, right? I can love their mother with all my heart and set example how they need to love their wives. Amen? And we need to be reminded of that. I remind myself. I keep those pictures. You can go down to my basement. You'll see the pictures on my books there, on my bookshelves. And you'll see the ones that I keep up there to remind me. And I go down there every day. And I look at those pictures. I got pictures up in my office. I call it office. There's pictures there. Pictures are there for a memorial in my mind to help me to remember. Oh, by the way, I got my big buck hanging on the wall up there, too. Just in case you wanted to know that. So, why? Because I can picture it and remember everything that happened. Because I didn't know that it was that big until I walked over there and stood there looking at it. I fell on my knees. I thank God. Maybe you don't understand that. But if you're a man and you love to hunt, you do. And you know what that means. So I'm here today. You know why I'm here today? Because I came here to remember the price that God paid for me. Amen? The memorial. The Lord's Day. And God said that we need to do this in remembrance of me. Jesus invites us, encourages us to do this in remembrance of Him. And there's one other aspect that I think is so important. Every day I put in my memory book. Today, God has given me, I'm going to seek Him today. There ought to be no day in your life that you're not seeking God, His will, His direction, His guidance, His providence, His love, His grace, and you need to continue to grow in your knowledge of Him. Every day you need to be seeking God. When it says find, knock, and seek, those are in the tense that it says continuously. You never stop looking. You never stop seeking. You never stop trying to find. It is an ongoing, life-going aspect, and you need to have that in your memory book. How many of you every day really do seek God? Because the Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come, and the year when you say, I find no pleasure in life or in them. Is that where you are? I don't. I love every day. I love getting up. That's my wife. I look forward to it. Why? Because it's another day for me to find God, to walk with Him, to be close to Him, to find Him, to know Him. Because God said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But they who cometh to Him must first believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who continuously, ongoing, seek Him. David said, I'm like a deer panting after the waters, O God. So my heart pants for You. We need to get that back in our memory book in the church today. Because the church, in a lot of ways, is becoming so anemic and so weak because we stopped seeking for God and His power and His love and His grace in our personal life. God made all nations one. God is not too far from any one of the people that live in this world today. At least happily, if they will grope for Him, they will find Him. Don't stop seeking God. Don't stop. Put that in your memory book. Because God wants to reward you for doing so. It does say, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, right? Then all these things that most people worry about will be added to you. Wouldn't you rather God add them to you and bless you with them than to think you've earned them? That by the grace of God, He's provided everything you need, and that you can give Him thanks and praise, and you can write that in your memorial book of all the things that God has done to bless you in your personal life? Think about it. Because every day, God is blessing me and you. Paul says, therefore, if you've been risen with Christ, set your mind on those things which are above. Seek the things that are above. Put that in your memory book. You should be seeking and have on your head the helmet of salvation. Nothing should be more important to you than you being and going to be with the Lord. So what did we find in our text today? Very quickly. What did it say? In vain they serve God, and what profit is that they have kept His charge and that they have walked in mourning before the host of Lord of hosts? You know how many people I've shared over the years? Well, I fasted. I gave up. I fasted for 30 days, 40 days, and it didn't do anything. It didn't make any difference. Nothing happened. What's wrong? Is there something wrong with it? Is God punishing me? On and on and on I hear people of that caliber. Well, it's vain to say. What profit did I get out of that? We have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts, so now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God. And what's happening to them? Well, look at all the wicked. Look at how they get away with everything. Why don't God do something, right? I hear people saying that all the time today. Isn't that amazing? It is. You know, it just boggles my mind, because what does it say as you go on? Build up, they also test God. But those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Are we going to, let's speak to one another. You fear God? I said, do you fear God? Well, let's speak to one another, okay? Because God has a book of remembrance. And what does He say? Who's in it? He says the book of remembrance was written before Him. And those who what?
fear the Lord,
and who what?
Esteem His name.
They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I prepare my own possession, I will spare them as a man spares his own son. What does he say? I will spare them. So you will again distinguish between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. So, God has a book of remembrance. Who's in it? Those who fear God, right? Right? Those who fear God. Those who esteem His name. Hold His name up high. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Who honors the name Jesus, because there is no other name given from heaven by which man must be saved, but to the name Jesus. Esteem it. They are righteous people. And there needs to come a day when God's people throughout America can be distinguished. Because many people today say, well, there's no reason I need to go to church to be a Christian. These people's lives aren't any different than mine. They swear, they cuss, they do whatever, they go there, they that, they get drunk. Why should I become a Christian? I don't need to become a Christian. It's becoming more and more difficult in the world today to distinguish between somebody who is really righteous and walking in obedience to God and who isn't. Did you know that? But God's book has the fact that those who walk with Him and are in that book will be righteous people whose lives are so different from the world that they can be distinguished from the world. People, we are called to be a peculiar people, different. Remember that. When you work, your life should illustrate and demonstrate the light that has come and dispel any darkness, that you are a child of God, you fear Him, you esteem Him, and you're walking with Him. And there ought to be no doubt in your family, my children, nobody's mine who I belong to. I belong to God. He bought me with the price of His Son's blood. He bought me, paid a price. It's up to me now to commit my soul, my mind, my body to Him and become a living sacrifice before God. I have a lot to remember. I have so much to be thankful for. Man, I got so many good memories about you people and all the things that God, and I just pray to God I don't ever forget how blessed I am. Amen? We're blessed people. We're blessed people. And we need to remember that. And we need not to forget it. And if you need to write it in the book, then write it in the book. If you have a time remembering that, hey, when I get up tomorrow I'm going to seek God, then write it on your mirror. Write it in your cereal box. Write it somewhere that just reminds you, today, seek God. Today, seek God. Or just remember, spend some time. If you don't do anything, then do what 1 Thessalonians 5 says. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Amen? And just write down. If you're going to put something in your memory book, then put in this that you're going to remember whatsoever is good and pure, lovely, a good report. If it has any virtue, then I'm going to put it in my book of remembrance. If it doesn't, it's not going in. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind. I press on toward the mark. There are things in your past you need to get out of there. You need to erase them. You need to put them out of your book. You shouldn't even be there. There's nothing there for you to remember. Make sure what you write in your book is positive, God-fearing, God-respecting, God-honoring, and it's a blessing to you. Don't put anything in there that's going to drag you down. Empty it. I really believe with all my heart that the reason I can set myself free from the way I was raised in my earthly family, because I believe in my heart that when I was born again in baptism, the old things passed away. The old man was crucified. I believe that at that point in that day, God then gave me the freedom to start writing a new book. I became a new creature in Christ. I don't go anywhere back beyond my baptism. You hear me? What happened before my baptism is gone. What happened after that? As my wife and I were preparing to go to a senior banquet, my dad come running up to the door. I would dress my suit. Marilyn was all ready to go. We were all ready to go. And Dad opened and he's standing there bawling his head off. I said, "Well, Dad, what's going on?" He says, "I've read your scripture, Bill. I know what they say. I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized now." I called South Lansing, asked if there was anyone out there. They said they'd be there. I took my dad out and we immersed him into Christ. He stopped drinking, he stopped smoking, he stopped swearing, and he was a changed man. You don't think I don't remember that? I was preaching a revival at Ferris, and I was coming to the invitation hymn, and I opened the invitation up, and here come my mom running down the aisle, tears running down her cheek. And I took a confession, and I immersed my mom into Christ, and she became a changed woman. All the hate and bitterness and stuff that was in her was gone. Wasn't it? My mom and my dad are examples that I want to remember of the power of the gospel and the power of the blood of Jesus and what he can do in people's lives. Don't tell me he can't change people's lives. Amen? You need Christ. You've never been immersed into Christ. You've never received the gift, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You've never been empowered to God. You think, "Well, I'm okay." No, you're not. Anyone and everyone that's not in Christ, all have sinned, fallen short of, and you need Jesus, you need his blood, and you need his forgiveness, or you won't stand before God someday. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't preach the gospel if I didn't. Would you? No. Do you not the Lord in your life? We offer an invitation. My dad came, my mom came, and I've seen hundreds come later. I've had people running down the aisles with tears running down their cheeks because they were convicted they needed Jesus. Amen? When Stan was going to sing, this could be your day of remembrance. This could be a day of memorial for you when you remember that you gave your life to Jesus today.